The grotto creeped me out. You know, you ever go to a cheap motel that has the indoor pool and the way that smells? That's basically what the grotto smelled like.
David. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
One thing Studio 66 has over the Playboy Mansion Grotto, smells like pigskin in here. Wish it smelled like bacon. That'd be even better. Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Seated next to me at my immediate left, we hope all's well wherever you are. We wish you the best. And another terrible week in America, but you know what? Let's try to focus for a little while, Maurice, on the world inside these walls here instead of what's going on outside. Let's talk about the game of pro football, shall we? With our pal seated to my immediate left, Maurice Jones-Drew, coming up, the Wolf, Colleen Wolf, for our famed Q&A segment. How are you, Maurice?
I'm doing well, Shaq. How are you?
I'm getting by. It was a topsy-turvy week for your football teams. I want to talk about all three of those in just a second here. We want to do best win, worst losses. We have some quarter poll awards. We are already 1 month in. We're four games in. Most teams at least are. So we're going to give out some quarter poll awards. Real quick, though, behind the glass, emerging news here. Our producer, Eddie Spaghetti, is wearing, he's a grown man, of course.
Is he?
He works, well, I mean, allegedly, because he works here. I don't think it would be child labor laws otherwise.
Grown men, though, like there's adults and then there's a grown man. So there's two.
I agree. Types. I always say,
maybe an adult.
I always say I'm a guy. I'm not. I don't suit the description of a man. Only there are only so many men. You know, I wish I were a man, but no, I'm
Shaq,
a guy.
You're a grown man. You're old as hell. You're a grown man.
No, not debating that I'm old, that's for sure. But what do you make of Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass? He's a grown man, allegedly, and yet he wears the initials of another grown man on his hat, EV, Eddie Vedder.
I don't know the connection between that. There may be something going on there.
They're not friends, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Who's Eddie Vedder?
He's the lead singer of Pearl Jam.
Yeah, that's too much. You know, I remember, and there's some good guys, like, there's some guys that, like, some autograph collectors that we had in Jacksonville I was cool with, and I would sign some stuff for them. That was cool. But there were sometimes, like, there'd just be guys that would, you know, they would have their kids get it for them. Like, stuff like, come on, man. Like, if you want the autograph, either man up and say, hey, I want your autograph. Don't use your child, because it'd be like someone that not know anything, you know, a kid that doesn't know anything about what we're doing. It'd be like, hey. And so
I agree that that's bogus.
That is. But also, like, as an adult, right, I have two boys, and we went to the flag football. They had this flag football thing in the Bay Area with, like, Mike Vick and T.O. All these guys were there. And I went with some neighbors of mine, right? And I know he's a Niners fan, but I told him the rules. I was like, look, rule number one, don't you ask for an autograph. And he was like, why not? I was like, because you're a grown man with two kids, a wife, and a mortgage. That's why. This is for the kids. This is for your kids to experience. You're too old to experience this.
I don't get – I'm with you on the autograph thing. Because, by the way, I have been with you, and we've seen Maurice Jones-Drew jerseys walking around on grown-ups. You like that.
support. Always support that. We need that as much as
there
possible.
There are exceptions that prove the rule, after
yeah,
all.
They're always, yeah, yeah. This rule, it's not like – I feel like.
Well, why do you want? Why does any? I legitimately, my old man used to do that because he was, you know, in Pittsburgh. He worked with Pitt football and with the Pittsburgh Penguins and stuff, and he would get me their signatures. And as a 9-year-old kid, I loved it. Well, Mario Lemieux signed something, but it is weird. What do you do with a piece of paper that has a name written down?
And so that was my biggest thing. You know, with my boys, I'm like, look, if you want these autographs, I'll go and introduce you, but you have to ask. Right, because I'll tell you the biggest time I felt like a fan. We were playing the Philadelphia Eagles, and Mike Vick had just got out of prison, and we played him in the preseason, his first game back out of prison. And so, I grew up a Vick fan. Everybody that played football wanted to play quarterback because Vick was running all over the place from college. And so, I just felt awkward, man. Like, I was like, you know what, like, can I get your jersey? Is it? And he was like, yo, I want your jersey. I was like, oh, I feel so
much
better.
Wait a second. You started the whole jersey thing of everybody on the field after the game trading jerseys?
This was different, though. This was
Iconic. What do I care? What does that mean? So you're the one who's responsible for this mess every weekend?
This happens all the time, but I still have it hanging up in my house. No, and then I have a lot of my teammates that went other places as well, but – yeah, that was the one time. And I just still feel sick about it. Like, there's times I just wake up, like, in cold sweats. Like, I can't believe I did that. That's embarrassing.
Shame on you. Now we have to watch this every week. Like, you think we fans want to see you guys complete 60 minutes of battle with your alleged foes, and you punctuate with, like, let's switch jerseys.
After, like, I mean.
Here, Odell, take my shirt.
When you were at Game of Thrones, when you watched that.
Yeah.
They allowed, or let's go to Troy. The movie Troy, they allowed you to take your buried after battle. They didn't. It was like a peaceful time for like an hour. You get to get all your guys that fall or that fail, and then you're able to burn them. Like, that's what that's about. It's like, all right, this is after we just went to battle. This is our peaceful time to do what we want.
That's a great story. You did, but you didn't burn the Vic jersey. You framed it and hung it in your home.
It's sitting there. And anytime anyone comes, I go, that is the jersey, the first jersey that he came back from. And I'm proud of that because he actually had a really good career after that.
All right, fine. But it does seem like you did start this entire thing that happens now.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, you got to grow up.
Yeah, like, that's the bottom line.
Pretty
spaghetti.
Much.
That's the bottom line.
And I don't know that – why does a lead singer of Pearl Jam have a hat with his name on it?
That's like, another issue. That is a weird thing.
Where do you get a hat like that
who
from?
Who has the gall to say, yes, go ahead and put my initials on a hat for others to purchase? That's, you know, that's arrogant.
Yeah, that's you know, those – hey, rock star.
We're not going to fix it all today, but let's do our best here, Maurice. Let's jump in here with a Week 4 review. Best win you saw this weekend?
No, the Rams. Rams at Cowboys. That was amazing.
That's for real. That was hard to look at
walking,
with the uniform.
Well, that's what I saw a lot of people say that. And they were like, well, I'd rather listen to this on radio than watch it on TV. And I was like, well, go do your thing. Mm-hmm. No big deal. I mean, I'm going to give you all you need to know anyways. But we walk in. We got there Friday, and we went out Friday night. I hung out with my cousin who got a chance to watch him coach the Dallas Oilers, his youth football team. And everyone there was talking trash to me because they all knew, like, they were like, oh, you work for the Rams. Oh, y'all going to lose. I was like, well, excuse me. I'm here supporting your children. Don't talk bad to me, right? And so I just want to take this time. Where's my single? All you people who was talking trash, take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. I thought that was the best win.
They're going to put the trash in there and
no question.
Smoke
because this
it.
Is what happened. The first half, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. I mean, the Cowboys were doing what they wanted. Zeke was going crazy. He was putting his talent in, celebrating. Everybody was having a good time. And Wade Phillips, for some reason, I don't know what he said at halftime or what he did. I'm still trying to figure it out. Got that defense on point. And then they were able to make some changes. And offensively, they were moving the ball the whole time. They scored two touchdowns and won the game. That's crazy.
I'm with you. That's a tough one to debate. And by the way, I was talking about this with David Carr to name drop. I was saying, you know, anybody who would suggest that coaching doesn't really matter. I know you and I guess Ike brings this up on a lot. Hey, it's the players that win as the coaches are secondary to it. But, you know, Wade Phillips has transformed and Sean McVay generally has turned it. I understand that Les Snead brought in some big pieces too, but they're unrecognizable from last year.
Well, I think,
and not just because of the weird looking uniforms.
You got to think though that you go and get Robert Woods in free agency, you draft Cooper Kupp, you draft Gerald Everett, you go and get Sammy Watkins via trade. Mm-hmm. I mean, that
I guess that's
is completely
a
different, right? Andrew Whitworth in left tackle. I mean, you went from Greg Robinson to Andrew Whitworth. Those are big moves.
Yeah, right.
And then you add Coach McVay. I was always told this: coaches can't win games, but they can lose games. And that's the hard part about being a coach, because sometimes if you overcoach someone and they're not being able to play fast and they can't recognize some of the things you want them to do, that can happen. And so I think right now they have a great mix of coaches that are allowing their players to play, and then they also have some really good players out there, some great players out there that are playing well.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not going to debate you on the Rams as your pick for best win. I think the Panthers, though. I mean,
that was a great win.
I mean, nobody gave them a shot, including me, going into Foxborough, and now here we are with the Patriots at 1-2 at home.
No, well, let me ask you.
Yikes! It could have been 0-3 at home.
My biggest issue with the Pats are, and this is where I say, you know, coaching comes into play. Sometimes when you believe you're too good of a coach and you forget to have players, like you trade Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, and then Rob Ninkovich retires, and then all of a sudden someone gets hurt, now you're out there with just a bunch of guys. And now your defensive scheme doesn't work because you don't have the guys to get pressure on the quarterback. And I hate when I hear people say, well, Bill's going to find a way. Everyone says that. Well, Bill's going to find a way to fix it. Like, he's a great coach, phenomenal coach. But you still need someone who can rush the passer when they cross those white lines. You traded everyone away. There's no one there that can get to the quarterback. That's their biggest issue right now.
I want to dig. We're going to do most disappointing team. I think the Patriots at least are worthy of inclusion in that. I don't know that they're the most disappointing.
They're not the most,
yeah. Hey, listen, they're 1-2 at home. Nobody could have seen that one coming. We'll get to that in just a second. Worst loss this week. I'll start us off here. Yes, they're, the Chargers again, the Giants again. They're you didn't see these teams being 0-4. But I got to look at the SEC, the much ballyhooed conference, the greatest conference in the history of people. Tennessee, LSU at home, Detroit.
On Peyton Manning night, too. That's the best part about it. Peyton Manning night, it's like, we're going to honor Peyton. This is a great game for us to honor him. We're going to go out here. We're going to do this. And then you give them zero?
To the dogs. Bow wow, Tennessee. Yikes.
And then LSU, when you lose on
at home
Detroit, that's tough.
Oof.
They've always struggled. They've always struggled with quarterback play. So it's tough. I mean, I don't know. I have a little more sorrow for LSU because they got a lot going on over there. They haven't had a quarterback in I don't know how long. But Tennessee.
Well, they're LSU. Go recruit one. Alrighty.
I mean, they're trying. I guess they keep missing. But LSU. Or not LSU, but Tennessee. I mean, they came in with so much hype. Sully. Is Sully here?
Poor Sully.
Is Sully in the back?
Bad for Sully. No, I saw him back there.
No, he's gone.
Then he heard that we might talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. 41-0 at home?
It's a tough one to come back.
Dan Helly? That's all you hear? One of the Redskins, and he must have had a bad weekend then because the Redskins took an L, and then Tennessee started off that way? Woo!
Let's check in on not those other people's teams, but Maurice's teams. I mentioned it. We just talked about the Rams sitting at 3-1. Yeah. Do you legitimately, I guess if you think, well, do you legitimately believe that the Rams at home can knock off the Seahawks this week? Because if they do, they will be 4-1. The Hawks will be 2-3. That gives the Rams a 2+ lead because of the head-to-head win there. That at the, a third of the way through the year, they're starting to get to a point where it's like, yeah, they might win the West.
Well, they are they're playing well offensively, and that's the biggest part. Their defense let's just go to last year's game. They won 9-3, right? Russell Wilson was banged up, couldn't run around like he. But still, I mean, that game was a defensive battle. I think this is going to be more of an offensive battle where you're going to see Jared Goff throw the ball because they run cover three all the time, and they do a great job of creating plays to attack certain people. They have confidence right now. I mean, that offensive line, regardless of what people say, they're running the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they running the ball well, they're utilizing Tavon Austin in a way that we haven't seen him utilize with packages to set him up, having him be the second back, the RB2, if you mm-hmm. want to, if you're a fantasy guy. And then these receivers, they have three guys who you have to account for. And you only could take two away. So the third one's always going to eat. And so, obviously, against San Francisco, the Niners tried to take away Cooper Kupp. Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods went crazy. Now the Cowboys took away those two guys. Cooper Kupp goes crazy. Like, you pick your poison. You go out. Then Tyler Higbee comes in. I mean, they have so many weapons that they can get guys the ball. And no one there is like – they don't have a dominant weapon yet like an Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham. They have three really good wide receivers who just do their job and get open and catch the ball.
It is funny that, both in the biggest city in the U.S. and the second biggest city, that it's upside down and kind of represents the entire NFL right now, because we thought that the Chargers were going to be good, the Rams were going to be, mediocre at best, and then we thought the Giants were going to be contenders, and we thought the Jets were going to be a punchline. Now look at the two teams that are vying for Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen.
Say Rosen's name first, please.
I do want to hear from you on that one. But
You have two. Hold on. So you have the Raiders they lost, and Derek Carr's loss hurts.
Right. So he's out 2-6. What do we think? Yeah. It was funny.
It may be longer than that, too, because those backs are hard to
deal
with.
Well, David Carr, literally, I talked to him. Yes, I talked to him on Monday and said, how's your brother doing? He's fine. He's a little sore, but he's going to be fine. He's going to play next week. And then 20 minutes later, Del Rio called Derek Carr, who then texted David and said, Oh, I guess I have
a broken back.
I guess I have a break in there. Now all of a sudden it's EJ Manuel. I don't know how confident you can be in EJ Manuel. He's always struck me. He cuts the figure of an NFL QB, and you know that's usually what seduces me about a guy when you got that that big whip like he does.
This is all that matters, the brain. But let me say this: they have three running backs that can go, so you're going to lean heavily on your running game. And your defense has to play a little bit better, and your receivers have to stop dropping the ball, point blank period.
Yeah, right.
You just have to do your job and catch it. Jags, I mean, we don't talk about it, but that London game, for the Jags to go to New York and then play a team that they're better than, the way they did, and defensively, the way you played in London, to come back and give up almost 200 yards on the ground and big plays like that, you don't – like, that London trip really hurt both them and Baltimore.
I wonder if it – yeah, it's right. Like, it tempers my enthusiasm for the 26-9 victory by the visiting Steelers to Charm City. But, yeah, that used to be a thing. You would get back from London and you would get the week off.
Right. So, but think about this. So, now the Jags play in London. They come back and fly to New York. Then they come back home, and then they have to fly to Pittsburgh. I mean, that right there is a ton of flying already in 3 weeks that most teams have done in a year, possibly. So – I mean, for them, they just have to get through this rough stretch of away games, and I think they'll be okay. But the two teams that I do want to talk about that we didn't, UCLA, great victory versus Colorado. I mean, we had to get back on track.
Oh, good, Colorado.
It doesn't matter. Your win is a win. They're on the schedule. You got to win the game. Josh Rosen, again, comes through in the clutch. Find a way to win the game. Defense is playing a little bit better. We have to improve on defense.
I like your uniforms.
Uniforms are going to be great. And then De La Salle High School.
Oh.
We played Bishop O'Dowd. A Catholic high school out of the Oakland area. Kirk Morrison, good friend of mine, went there. He thought that they were going to beat us this year, which they all do. But no, they got beat. They got a whipping. And I'm proud of those kids. They took a loss against Bishop Gorman in L.A., and then they bounced back and won a couple of tough games. So I'm excited to see them. You know, we're on the state championship now. We got to win the state championship. We got to win our league. Playoffs, state championship.
I'd like to see. I know that your high school was named the greatest single
My high school team.
What year was it?
2001.
2001. I'd like to see him play some of the Western PA powerhouses.
They would have got
years.
Worked.
All right.
I'm just being 100 with you.
They need to get a video game of high school teams
they do.
So that we can see how that would turn out. All right, let's get to it, Maurice.
Yes.
The quarter poll awards. We're 4 weeks in. Most teams are at least. Who's your MVP right now?
Right now it has to be it depends. I'm biased. I feel like it should be Kareem Hunt.
Like in the span of 4 seconds, you went from, it has to be, well, I'm biased. I guess it could be.
I feel
be.
Like it should be Kareem Hunt.
Yes,
it's
agree.
It's tough for
that.
Running backs to win that for some reason. So I'm going to say Alex Smith is my quarter pole MVP.
I guess so.
No,
you know,
victories.
Anybody, again, he personifies, Alex Smith does. And I guess, actually, the two QBs from the 2005 first-round draft, both he and Aaron Rodgers, anybody who tells you, like, coaching doesn't matter as much as how gifted a guy is, Alex Smith, think about what he overcame. I mean, how many guys could be labeled bust for that long into his career, and then the right coach, the right system comes along, and then that coach says, yeah, we can do better with another guy. Then you kick him, so he gets kicked to the curb by the coach who changed his career for the better. Then what does he do? Does he curl up in the fetal position and weep? No, he comes back and does it again with Andy Reid now.
He has his best performance when he's under pressure. You draft Patrick Mahomes. All of a sudden, he feels the pressure.
It's weird, yeah.
Boom, he's rolling.
But Sanchez didn't like it when Tebow came into New York, but Alex Smith elevates his play.
A lot of quarterbacks don't like that. They want to feel comfortable. Alex Smith, he's okay with that. And I think what he's done with that offense and what Andy Reid has done utilizing his ability to run, and we saw last night on Monday night that he was able to extend some plays, get some first downs, take some hits. I mean, he did a really good job with them. You know, the Redskins jumped up on him. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, to me, is they're the only undefeated team right now. You got to go with Alex Smith.
I agree with that. I'm trying to even offer up an alternative that would be viable, but I'm with you. I think you're right. Kareem Hunt. Well, as a matter of fact, Rookie of the Year. That leads us neatly there. I don't know though that I can say
I can't give it to Kareem right now.
Oh, you're gonna go the same place I am.
I think I'm gonna put my hat over there with Deshaun Watson.
Lone Star State. I told you that was the guy to get. Damn it, check the QB whisper. So far, right again. He was the QB to get.
I said this on Fantasy NFL Fantasy Live that my brother-in-law once told me that Deshaun Watson was a player. Mm-hmm. And I said, you watch his tape, man. He doesn't really – he don't have the tools. I don't know. And Justin Murray, I'm sorry. You were right again.
See, that's having some spine. That makes you not a guy. That makes you a man, Maurice.
Thank you. I told him on national television. I said, listen, bro, you called it. I have to give you credit for that. I mean, this guy can play. And then I picked him up and put him in my fantasy lineup. Four touchdowns and one rushing.
I said, the same thing, Maurice. put your money or your fantasy team where your mouth is.
That's right.
I completely agree with that. And by the way, how many more times are we going to be surprised by a QB who can run around a little bit to cover up any deficiencies as a rookie? That is a useful thing as you ascend to understanding the full playbook.
But I think he's different. Where Vic came in, all he did was use his legs. This guy is looking to throw the ball. He uses his legs when he has to, similar to what Dak did last year. Dak didn't really run like everyone thought he was supposed to.
That's right.
But because you're always looking to throw the ball. And then when you have to run, you run.
And then Leonard Fournette, I guess, probably is third in there. But, yeah, I'm with you. I go Deshaun Watson by a whisker over Kareem Hunt. Most disappointing team. This is interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Chargers. I just think, you know, I don't know if they have too much talent or not enough. I really don't know, but the hopes were high for them.
That's a weird statement. You don't know if they have too little or too much?
Yeah, because you have all these great weapons on the outside, but your offensive line play is eh. You drafted a guy in the offensive line. He gets hurt right away. Your middle linebacker gets hurt. You know, they got a lot of injuries.
Jason Verrett
goes – I mean, they had a team there rolling come preseason, and then, you know, guys start going down. So I really – it's either between them and the Giants, I think.
It's vexing, though, for Phil Rivers supporters. It's a little weird that he's not exactly – I love – you know, everybody loves watching Philly out there in the fourth quarter and all the gesticulating and everything else. It's fun, and I always support the gunslinger. But, man, he's putting them in some tough spots himself.
He's made some mistakes early on. But there's a lot of teams. But I think you can go Giants, you can go Chargers, you can go New England.
New England, just give me your concern level.
You can go Minnesota, or not in Minnesota, you can go Miami. Miami had a lot of people saying, like, oh, Jay Cutler's the one. You haven't scored a point in 2 weeks.
All right, but lay it on me, though. Patriots and the defense. Yes, everybody says the same thing right now. Oh, listen, we've seen this story before. Remember when they went, 3 years ago to KC and they got whipped?
They had Darrell Revis. And Brandon Browner, they had players on defense.
Well, Browner wasn't good, but yes, Revis was good. Okay, fine.
Browner played, they had that, he played that big corner spot the way they liked to, where he matched up against bigger guys. Darrell Revis,
sure.
That they had pass rushers.
I'm surprised Revis isn't somewhere in the NFL right now. But, okay, so what can Bill Belichick do realistically? You know,
Go trade for a pass rusher.
Listen, I know it's easy to say, well, he doesn't have the pieces, but we've seen him turn nothing into a Super Bowl contender
people
before.
People have to realize – a lot of those times, a lot of those defenses, when they won Super Bowls, they had a very good defense. Last year, I want to say they had the number one scoring defense, right? They always had the number one something. They were either number one total, number one score. They were a really good defensive team because they can get the ball back to Tom. Tom can make things happen. This year, they don't have that.
Barring a transformational trade or some
they have to do
weird
that.
Pickup or something like that, are the Patriots – doomed to do something less than win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I don't think they win the Super Bowl.
I don't want a guarantee. Either they will or they won't.
You want a guarantee? So I want all the Patriots fans to hit me on Twitter at MJD.
This is exciting.
For this one. This is finna get real. That which is mean is true and real.
Oh.
I don't have them winning the AFC East.
Oh,
the
my
Buffalo
goodness.
Bills.
Come on. The Bills are not going to win the division.
The Buffalo Bills are going to win the division.
The 2017.
Buffalo Bills,
who gave away Sammy
they
Watkins.
They circle the wagons like no one else. That's what he says? Is that how it goes?
Who, Boomer Berman?
Yeah.
No one circled. Look, Teach, let me tell look, there's the New England Patriots. There's the Indianapolis Colts. There's the Pittsburgh. Look, there are a lot of talented teams in the AFC. But the Buffalo Bills are putting something pretty special together.
All right, so that's
it. But you didn't do it. No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
You heard it here
back
first.
Are you really saying that
are going to win it? Watch.
Come on, man.
All right, man.
You're getting a little silly.
All right.
Yeah, but so that's a little stronger than what I even.
That's what you wanted. I gave it to you.
You did.
Now.
Someone other than the Patriots will represent the AFC.
The
in
Buffalo
the Super Bowl.
Bills will represent.
All right. Send in the
AFC East.
I want to hear what the Wolf has to say
the
about
Buffalo
it.
The Buffalo Bills will represent the AFC East in the playoffs.
Maybe
and
the
have
Wolf
the first home
make
game.
Some sense of what's happening. Oh.
Oh, you're so disrespectful.
That's a-
the disrespect is unreal. That's why you don't have a seat, because you come in here being disrespectful.
Wait a second, the Wolf. Why are you waving a 12 flag?
I'm supposed to be an Eagles fan.
Because it was the first, the only flag that was in there. I just wanted to.
I thought you
flag.
were waving your what? Eagles flag after the start to the season.
I wish. Why is this seat so high? What's happening? I'm gonna like sit on the table.
Yeah, if we're gonna, if people are getting booster seats, let's get them for everybody on this side of the table. You
there
know what
go.
I'm talking about? Okay. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Now the Wolf.
Hi.
How are you?
Here, hold on.
Here she is, star. Right. Of Good Morning Football.
Oh, thanks.
You know what? Let's say hello to her the right way. Let's be gentlemen, okay. Maurice. Here she is, everybody, from Philadelphia. It's Colleen Wolf.
Philly girl from the very start. You know Rocky Balboa in the Museum of Art. Coast to coast living with the number
right,
one
that's
guy.
That's enough. I don't need to hear the whole
my
thing.
Favorite,
we get it.
My favorite thing ever is Mike Garofalo, who I do the Saturday and Sunday show with.
Name dropper.
He's actually from Philadelphia. Like, he was born and raised in South Philly. I'm not. I'm from outside of the city. But I always love to tell him that I'm from Philly and ask him where he's from. And no he's question. Like, what do you mean? I'm actually from
that's
the city.
That's the level of fun you will experience when you watch Good Morning Football Weekend Edition. The Wolf is in the house. The Wolf, it's time for, and Maurice, time for our Q&A. And we'll start with this cue that I just threw that Maurice aid, and I don't know that he aced the answer, though.
Uh-oh.
He just said that the Bills are going to win the AFC East. The Wolf, agree
really?
Or disagree?
I have to go on the, you know, I like to go on the edge and like.
I like it.
It's been
it.
Paying off for you. He's been throwing out these things a week early.
They've been sticking.
I know. It's crazy. Great.
I don't just throw them out, though. They're like calculated.
No, they're informed.
Throws.
Yeah, but the Bills, that defense looks really, really good. I mean, when we were talking about that team tanking and selling off all of its parts, like, I mean, when you looked at the roster, there's no way you would think that they would be 3-1 right now. But they look good.
I know, and it's – I know who cares what happened 8 years ago or whatever that was, 9, 10 years ago. Remember when they started 4-0 and they beat the Patriots in Buffalo and they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Ryan Fitzpatrick and all this and that. And then they go away. I mean,
even
come on,
like
the
2014,
Bills,
they were looking for a
you said that last year they went 8-8. We forget that they went 8-8 and won a couple games at the end, almost getting the playoffs. They just needed someone to lose. They still have talent on that team. And like I told you before, Shaq, you take a team from a 4-3 and okay, the Chargers.
That's still, a great. I mean, that's,
the Chargers
that's
are dealing with that right now. They're a 3-4 team with a 3-4 personnel running a 4-3 scheme. You're going to have some issues. What they literally did was put them back in their 4-3, and now the defense is great again.
Yeah, they got rid of Ronald Darby, and I thought that was crazy at the time, but he just didn't work.
Yeah, he doesn't fit that. Yeah, and Tre'Davious White is unbelievable.
And E.J. Gaines, like they look great.
Stephon Gilmore's gone. I mean, not doing well in New England, but still. I mean, the pieces that they said goodbye to seemed to equal, hey, we're going to scuttle 2017, and we're going to get a high-round pick.
But then Tyrod Taylor, they're using him the way he's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
He's a mobile quarterback. He's in that West Coast system. They're faking the ball to Shady, pulling out, throwing bootlegs, throwing the ball back. Charles Clay's showing. I mean, they're rolling right now. Now, you have to keep that going and stay healthy. Jordan Matthews hurts a little bit. But, I mean, someone else has to step up.
All right. Before we get to the people's questions for the two of you to answer, I have one more for you. Let's just jump over. I have here as we give out our quarter poll awards here, the Wolf. Instead of just saying best team, right now, 4 games worth of evidence in. Who's going to the Super Bowl? Who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl?
Man, I had a I'm not going to lie. I really, really thought after last night, the Redskins have a really good chance.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a good chance. But no.
I mean, they're a Dotson drop away from winning that game in
KC.
Is
it Dotson or Dotson? Because I heard it both ways on the broadcast, and now I'm second-guessing everything I know.
It was Kirk Cousins' fault because on the right side, Jordan Reed was what we call butt-naked in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There was nobody by him. He was by himself. He beat Marcus Peters on a double move or whoever was covering him and was literally 5 yards away from him. If you throw it up, if I'm going to end the game on a go ball, this is me, I'm going to throw it to my best player.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm going to do.
He was angry, too. And it's like he didn't even play a lot of snaps.
Did you not see what Jay Gruden said on the side? He goes, you didn't see Jordan Reed? And he was like, no, I didn't.
Well, that happens sometimes. No, As a matter of fact, Ben Roethlisberger didn't see a wide-open Antonio Brown in Baltimore the other day.
Oh, wow, that was bad.
AB flipped out. He threw Gatorade everywhere and not happy either. It wasn't like, hey, Todd Haley, let's do a Gatorade bath in celebration. Let me just dump it on you out of rage.
He's a passionate player.
It's so hard to say who's going to be in the Super Bowl because at this point, after this week, it's like a crazy mixed-up world we're living in. I have no idea what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right.
Aditi Kinkabwala reports that Mike Tomlin spoke about AB's histrionics on Sunday, said this is not AB's first rodeo. Be a professional. I think he's saying AB needs to get it together a little bit, and this isn't the first time that AB's blown up a little bit. I do think, is that not a distraction, Maurice? It's one thing if you're going south, and then you have somebody start bellyaching, and you're like, well, the wheels are off. But isn't it bemusing at least to be like, we just went into Baltimore and beat them 26-9.
What was the score at the time? I thought it was early in the game.
It was early in the game.
Well, you don't know if that one play. You don't know if that one play would have been changed the game, right? Because literally, you throw the ball. That was a third down play. He throws the ball over to, I think, Lev Bell's head.
Yeah.
And they punt. And this dude is running by himself. Now, he did change the route at the last second, but that's what they do in Pittsburgh. And he was literally no one around him for 20 yards, I felt like.
Distraction or not, wouldn't you so much rather see a player, like, show emotion?
Yes.
Like, be passionate about something?
I say that all the time in defense of Odell or anybody else.
Yeah.
I'd much rather my guy run a little too hot than
You have a pulse. Yeah. You're human. You care. That's great.
Or would you rather have your player just stand on the side of a play like this with his hands on
That's always the same guy that comes to mind when you talk about guys that just don't care.
That reminds me to shout out my own Check Report. Track that thing down on digital. What are your favorite digital platform? As I compared it, I said, what's he think this is, the 2010 NFC title game?
Yeah.
Get it? Because he just stood there like.
Yeah, I know. That's the one. That's funny. How I got him.
Setting out the vibes over here.
I'm going to go since no one's giving a good answer to this. So the Redskins are going to the Super Bowl, Maurice?
No, I didn't say that. I said that.
Well,
I thought they were. But I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
That would have been some win going into KC.
That would have been a
The
Chiefs.
The Chiefs for I like
and
the Chiefs, too.
And I'm going to take the Rams out of it because that's a biased pick.
Okay.
I still feel like they have a great chance, too. If you win next week, you have a chance to really do some good things. Anything can happen. We know
Maurice
that.
Let me guess what division you're going.
Maurice is saying
what? NFC North?
Yes.
But it's not the Packers.
No.
It's the Lions.
Is it Detroit?
It's the Detroit Lions. They're finding a way, Shaq. It doesn't matter.
The Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
I'm
going to
tell you the story.
Okay.
That the strength coach told me. We got a little bit of time. So he said he was driving on this back road in Mississippi, and he said he looked and he saw this turtle sitting on this post. And I was like, "What? Like, come on, man, don't lie to me." And he said he went and talked to the turtle. And he's like, "Mr. Turtle, like, how'd you get on this post?" And the turtle didn't respond because he wasn't speaking, you know, the turtle don't speak English. And so he came through.
Makes sense.
At the end of it, he said, you know, he goes, after trying to talk to this guy for a long time, I just figured out he found a way. And that's what they're doing right now. They're finding a way to win games. It doesn't matter if it's
pretty. Your friend was talking to a turtle who he knew going
his
in.
His name is Dr. Kreese, too.
Right.
That's his name, Doc Kreese. Doc Kreese, look him up on YouTube. I'm telling you, Dr.
Maurice says it's the Lions and the Chiefs for all the glory for the Lombardi. I'm staying with my original pick at the quarter pole, boring as it may be. Listen, I have to self-validate. We only have four games. I'm not going to jump off my own ship that quick.
I remember who I said.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, man, the Seahawks look bad right now, though.
I know. Listen, that's why I can project ahead. I can look past what we're seeing and realize that they're going to continue to come together. That was a big second half for them against Indy, although I was at halftime.
But it was against Indy.
They're going to lose to the Colts?
That would have been the most week four thing that happened, Jacoby Brissett and the Colts beating the Seahawks.
Oh, I think anybody going in with into Foxborough and again beating them, but then again the Rams going into Big D and beating them.
Oh,
I don't know.
Crazy.
It
what
is.
A week.
It's but you know what happens every NFL season is you don't know until like November or December. You'll look back at September results and say, oh, that was weird. Remember we thought that the Cowboys were really good? It may well be that the Rams went in there and beat a mediocre Cowboy. We don't
or
know
it
yet.
Or it could be the Rams are really good.
Also true. Right. We'll have to wait on that, but I just told you how this whole thing ends. It's the Steelers and Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
No Eagles. No one thinks the Eagles.
Let me just say something to
you. I have to.
Who picked the Eagles before the season? Damashek, that's who.
To win what?
The division.
Well, that's going to be tough, man.
All right. Well, I made that prediction. I don't know. I don't remember too many other people saying
my predictions are so all over the place right
now. Well, what's
now. Your like my emotions are all over the place. I don't know if I can make a pick right now based on what I saw this past week.
Chris Long, Malcolm Jenkins, Torrey Smith, easy human beings to root for. I'm all the way in on
LeGarrette
Wentz
Blunt,
and company.
He's out there angry. Yeah.
Wentz looks dynamite, in my opinion, for a second-year QB, running around, hurting people
Alshon,
with the legs as well
Alshon
as with the whip.
Jeffrey.
That was a great home game for them.
Oh, shout out. That's why everyone thought the Chargers were going to go back to San Diego.
I know, and can you believe that? Yeah, well, I guess they're now they've announced officially that there is no consideration.
There is no going
back to San Diego.
You already paid
only
the price.
Only going forward now.
I was so sure. Man. That was one I was wrong on. I was sure the Chargers, but then again, the kid makes a couple of kicks there, and the story is completely different.
Yeah, they won
right.
two guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take some some questions from the people. But the Wolf, I do want to hear your Super Bowl prediction.
Oh man, right now? All right.
I brought it up 4 minutes ago.
I know.
Maurice came up with some nonsense about the Lions while you had
find
a chance
a
to think about it.
I'm about to make a shirt that says Find a Way. That's going to be my new brand.
I need more time. I'm not giving you one right now. How about that?
Amir Abdullah, the feature back for your Super Bowl representative.
Yeah, that's how it is sometimes.
Okay. Let's hear from Michael Wright, shall we, on Twitter. He drops us a line and asks, does longevity get players into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I don't know this Michael Wright. I know another one.
You don't know Baby Boy?
No, I don't know Baby Boy.
Isn't Michael Wright the name of the actor from, can't think of any, Westworld?
You know,
it just depends.
I don't know. The Michael Wright I know, he's a reporter now. He follows the Spurs. He was a Jacksonville beat writer, and now he's in San Antonio with the Spurs, and he follows the Cowboys a little bit. But longevity just depends on your production, right? Like, I think Terrell Davis got in the Hall of Fame because in his 6 years, he was the most dynamic running back we had when there was Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. He was winning MVP.
That's exactly right. I'm glad that longevity should matter in the evaluation, I suppose. I mean, but it's well down on my list of priorities when I'm evaluating whether or not somebody belongs in the Hall of Fame.
In your period of time, it may be 1 year, 30 years.
Well, it can't be one.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Like, I know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's how productive were you in that era you were in.
Yeah, I think it matters too much to too many people.
I agree with that, yes.
Because
it's a dangerous sport.
Especially at the running back position. I mean, you got to be incredibly durable to withstand all of that and play at the top of your game
or
and last that long.
Or play Hall of Famers at wide receiver, quarterback, and O-line. And fullback.
Mm. I like – but I do like the trend, the recent trend that you go – that not it's not just Terrell Davis, but also Kenny Easley, who
he's a
certain age and watched him play. He was clearly –
saw him
clearly,
in college.
Yeah.
Watched him in college.
Really?
He's a Bruin, and so they would show his highlights. He was a monster. He was the first – he was Ronnie Lott before Ronnie Lott.
Well, yeah, but he was super skinny and wiry. So he was a striking figure out there on the gridiron in the kingdom back in the olden days of the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, it does matter. It's not exactly a response to the question, Michael, but longevity. Here's always my response to people about numbers and who has the best statistics. Emmitt Smith. Nobody thinks Emmitt Smith – well, I suppose you could conjure a few people who would make the argument for Emmitt, but nobody says Emmitt Smith's the greatest running back in the history of the league just because he has the rushing record. Everybody would put Walter Payton or most people.
You didn't hear what I said, huh?
No, what?
You heard it. You caught the joke.
Yeah.
What was the joke?
Emmitt, like – the
very good.
Like, no, he was good.
He had so much around him.
It was unbelievable, right? And I'm not saying that to take away from him, but when you compare him to Barry Sanders, who had around him, or you know other running backs that are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he literally is the gold standard of what you want your team to look like.
Hall of Fame
quarterback, Hall of Fame wide receiver, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, multiple of those guys.
That must have been insane.
Go do your power ranking show with your friend EH there and talk and bring that one up to him. He has some strong opinions on Barry Sanders, too.
Yeah, like what?
That Barry Sanders did, in fact, have a lot of talent around him, and that single back spread benefited him, of course. Which is kind of true.
But what does that have to do with the price of tan China when you had players? You had Hall of Fame
Oh, no, he's getting choked up. Oh, my God. By the way, I have my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
Oh, please.
Yes. I'm going to go the Kansas City Chiefs and the Falcons.
The Falcons.
Yeah, I got to go with the Falcons.
I feel like, you know what we're starting to see with the Falcons? First of all, they almost lose in week one.
Yeah.
Then they have the big open up the stadium event, and they more or less blow out the Packers.
Right.
And that's the signature victory so far for them.
They could easily be 1-3.
They could be 1-3.
I know.
And I think that maybe we're starting to see. Now they have a bye week, and maybe they can write the thing. But I think there's some emotional fatigue. And
Sanu. They lost Julio Jones.
Well, that's why I say temper your enthusiasm, Bills fans.
But
my
biggest thing is, you have to remember, we crowned Matt Ryan last year as being the E word. Mm-hmm. Did we not? On this show last year, I remember someone saying he is now the E word. And when you become the E word, it doesn't matter who you have out there, you still have to win games.
That offense was the E word last year.
No.
That's a good point by Maurice.
That's all I'm saying.
Good point.
Once you come in that elite category, you got to win games.
I once stood in – here's some more name dropping telling tales from I'm just a fan. The only difference between you and me is that I got over the fence and I'm reporting now back from the front lines.
As you should.
I once was here in the green room where all the fancy pants hang out, and I saw Maurice Jones-Drew hugging and Kibitzen with Justin Forsett. They're two peas in a pod.
Boy.
You love him. He has a question for us.
Here's
Justin with a question.
All right, so Maurice, who's the best running back to ever stay at your house?
Oh.
Oh, Casa Day Jones-Drew. You didn't know about that? In the offseason, it's a popular place for running backs.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead, guess.
Was it Maurice Jones-Drew?
No. I mean,
you could say that.
I could say that.
You could say that if you
know. There's
to.
Been a couple guys, and Justin is definitely in the rankings.
Gaston Green.
No.
Eric Ball.
No. They would never come to my house. They're not welcome. They're too old. These are guys that are playing right now. Justin Forsett, James White's been there, and obviously myself. But I'm gonna have to go with a guy who won Super Bowl MVP. James White.
Oh.
Stayed at the crib, and then it kind of rubbed off. But they don't call him Uncle James. They call my kids call Justin Uncle Justin. Forsett. They call him his whole name. It's the
really?
Uncle Justin Forsett. It's the best thing going.
Uncle Justin Forsett.
Yeah.
You know what? If you just saw that question from Justin, it came from the aforementioned green room.
Yes.
They now have the Hall of Famers jerseys hanging in there. I do think they should put up a Maurice and a Heath Evans.
Yeah. They should have that on another wall.
And a Sean O'Hara.
No, leave
and
me
smaller.
Out. Leave me
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
So listen, so up in that room,
Jones-Drew.
Okay, well they're in that
James
room,
White.
Not in your house, in the green room.
Super Bowl MVP.
This goes to the both of you.
Okay.
You have Maurice Jones-Drew. You have LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, and Terrell Davis. Colleen Wolf, who's the best running back?
Oh, that's a tough one.
To work at NFL Media.
Well, I think I'm a pretty smart girl, and I'm sitting next to Maurice Jones-Drew.
I did face more than 8-9 man boxes.
I'm
all
going
of
MJD.
Together.
Have I'm honor saying. The wolf. Have dignity.
I did face more 8-9 man boxes than they all of them put together, possibly.
It's true.
Just saying.
Are you saying yourself?
Oh, no question.
No question.
No, I'm not even going to. There's no debate in that.
All right, let's put them
I
in
I did
order.
Love
let's do
LT's
it one through four.
Tinted visor, though. That was one of my favorite things
you better
about watching
quick,
him play.
Better compliment Marshall Faulk and TD, too.
No, that
oh,
was
Oh, it's a four-way tie.
No.
It's a four-way tie. They're the four best to ever do it.
She said it right. No disrespect to those other guys.
All right, let's put them in order, teams. Then. You have MJD, LT.
MJD.
TD.
MJD.
Faulk.
MJD.
Go ahead, the wolf.
Oh, these are my rankings.
Yeah,
okay.
He's trying to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Do your thing.
Okay.
No pressure.
I know. My God.
MJD. He may never wear a gold jacket.
I'm trying to think of the guys that I work with the most.
All right, that's unsatisfying. If you're going to be a coward, then I don't want to play this game.
No, it's strategic.
All right, Maurice. Maurice, go ahead. We talked about being a man.
I am a man.
All right, go ahead then.
Myself, I face more 8-9 man boxes.
Okay, we heard that one.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna go with LT.
Okay, two.
Then I'll go with. See, to be honest, if we're gonna do it without me being like putting myself in it, I would probably go Marshall because he went 1,000-1,000, and that's always tough. So
he would jump LT.
Yeah, and then I would go LT then TD. That's how it would go.
Interesting. I think this is a quiz that everyone
But if you're going to put me in it, I should be in all four. because I did all that and so.
Man, watching, especially with TD being inducted this year, watching the highlights from when he played.
It was crazy.
Man, like, they wouldn't have won that Super Bowl without him.
Oh, go back and watch Super Bowl 32. It's one of the great performances. And there is not out of his, as I always say, out of his 159 yards that he puts up on a great Packers defense, and without even playing the second quarter, there's not one that skews those numbers. There's not like a 75-yard run in the mix that throws those numbers out. I mean, like, they are, talk about being a man, like, they are 5 yards, 8 yards, 11 yards, 5 yards. Like, that's the whole game outside of the second quarter. Like I say, he barely was out there for that. It's amazing. It's a remarkable performance. All right, let's hear from another.
Wait, what's your rankings?
That's not, no one cares. No one cares about my numbers on that. I did, well, listen, I actually did rank them a year or so ago. I did have LT, I think, when I did Super Bowl era running backs, uh-huh. I think I had LT eighth of all time in that.
Okay.
And I think I had Marshall at, I think I had LT at eight, Marshall at nine, and then Emmitt at 10.
And where was MJD?
He was in, like,
I wasn't on
ahead of that. Okay. He was, like, ahead of that.
I wasn't on that one. It's all good. 8 and 9 man boxes. Just watch
the tape. You were on there.
Just watch the tape.
I had you next to Fred Taylor, you know?
8 and 9
you counted
man boxes.
As one in my book. No. All right, next up, let's hear a guy. Hear from a guy who blocked for both Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew. His name is Mercedes.
Hey, yo, Dave, this one is for you, man. When you cutting that grizzly off, or at least get your edge up or something, get your little fade at the top or something, I can handle that. I'm trying to let that go, bro.
Was Mercedes scores three touchdowns, and all of a sudden he's giving me the business on a beard? I had this.
He's got that Mercedes. Barry Manilow voice going.
Mercedes
love it.
Belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Straight up. I mean, to be honest with you, when we first of all, I played against a guy in high school, right? He was a dominant force and played with him in college. He won the Mackey, did great things. But in Jacksonville, they never asked him to catch the ball. They've never asked him to catch the ball. One year they asked him to do it. He had 12 touchdowns or something like that in one season. It's crazy.
Yeah, it
everybody
is weird.
Just sees him as a blocker because he's a really good blocker. But he's actually really good with the ball in his hands as well. You have to try to find ways. They do it one game, and all of a sudden he scores three touchdowns in one game. Then they just they go away from it when they play the Jets.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
At all. It doesn't, but that's part of the game plan.
The Wolf, do you think I need to – go ahead. Should I go just
I'm really well versed in beard trimming.
Do I need to get rid of the thing? What?
I don't even know what you would look like without the beard anymore.
What would you look like without the
You would
the
look
mustache?
Like a baby face, I think.
Would you look,
I don't think I would look baby face.
What would you look without the mustache? You got to do that.
Not too many babies have a big beak for
just
a nose.
Have the mustache.
No, he's done that before. You have to cut it all off.
Yeah, I
do it
know.
Next week. Do it this week and see how
Maybe
it looks.
Maybe I will.
Are you actually thinking about it?
Oh yeah,
I'm
tired of it. It's enough already. Too many hipsters.
Itchy?
Too many hipsters getting in on my bit now. You know, I let the hipsters have the beard.
Yeah, maybe do the long sideburns.
No, just cut it all off and then let it grow back. That's what I'm. I'm not going to cut mine until Super Bowl.
That's probably what I'm going to do.
Really?
I swear, seriously, that's the truth.
Last question for this week's Q&A comes from our pal Yonders in the state of Indiana. He asks, what's the best way to go about wooing someone you're interested in? The Wolf, why don't you start us off here?
You have to listen to them. That's, like, the most important thing. But for me,
hear that a lot.
You got to make me laugh. And you know, you
That's
guys
how you
know.
Get to your heart through your mouth.
It's not difficult to. I don't.
I think that was a sexist response from you.
What?
Well, you're answering it like how do you should get wooed. It's like, how do you woo somebody? Didn't you have to woo Gonzo?
Yeah, I listened to him and I made him laugh.
That's what Gonzo did. He listened to you.
Yeah.
And then in between listening sessions, he
laughed at all of my jokes.
He cracked some whys, and you chuckled at it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, we met in the Eagles locker room.
There was no game. He threw no mouthpiece, no, like, little hint here, no little hey-he-he's.
No, when we first started met each other, we were both dating other people.
So
we were friends first.
Ah, that's always the way to go.
But you met in the Eagles locker room.
Yeah. Yep.
What was that? Describe that scene.
Super weird. It's always like it got, I think, stranger when we were married and we were in the Eagles locker room together, because it's like
we're seeing, like, you look at other guys who are probably next.
Well, no, like, I'm,
you got
talking
married
to him
in the Eagles locker room?
No. I would be talking
your
to John
syntax was
and
off there.
Somebody in the, like, periph right yeah. there would be getting changed. I'm like, hey, mind if we just switch spots so you can yeah. have that view? But no, it was basically,
hey, put some pants on. My wife's in here. Like, man, it's a locker room. Listen, what do you want us to do?
Well, locker rooms are so weird because everybody just gathers in the middle of the locker room and you just wait.
John
talk.
Is a very confident man. One.
Gonzo. Yeah.
Yes, it has to be. To have your woman be in a male locker room like that all the time and not even trip.
Doesn't care at all. That's how I that's, knew that was going to work out.
Yeah, that's that
never cares.
That the biggest thing with my wife. Well, obviously, you know, we've been friends as kids, but confidence, man. Like, I work down here. She's at home with the kids.
I know, but when
that's
people big, talk
that's
about,
true. If
you know what is
someone?
Can I be honest though? I find that to not be terribly useful advice because you hear it all the time. Like, you know what women like most in a fella? Confidence. Like, well,
but confidence,
isn't, well, what do you mean? Well, how you either have confidence or you don't.
No, it's like confidence is like when she goes, I want to go out with my friends. You don't blow her up every 5 seconds. You let her go out with her friends and have a good time.
You can't be insecure.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Insecurities. Like, oh, my goodness.
It's the most unattractive thing in anybody.
But there's some people that's what I was watching this thing on Twitter, and this girl, it was crazy. She set her husband or boyfriend up. He's like a cable guy, and they put these two gorgeous twins in the room, and they were doing stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, I got a girlfriend, blah, 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 this and that. And she was literally trying to get him caught up. And the guy passed the test, and she got mad. Like, you can't
win
with that.
That seems like a toxic relationship,
yeah, you can't
probably.
Win with that. What are we doing?
So the advice for our friend Yonders is be confident, listen, and be funny. So at least two of those are things that you can't control. You can't make yourself confident. You can't make yourself funny.
When the confidence is, like we just said, you just can't be insecure. When she wants to go out, like, don't blow her up. Text every now a couple hours.
Don't be,
hey,
like,
how are
all
you?
Over someone.
I see.
Don't
be smothered. That's what you mean by confident. Yeah. I thought you meant, like, be like Don Draper confident. Like, well, hello.
No. Let them do their own thing. You guys have your own lives and then your life together.
I think you can be deceived by movies. I think movies are a lifetime of deception for the viewing fella.
Yeah.
If you tried to use what they do in movies to pick up women, you would fail miserably. Like, women love you know, a man of few words. Like, yeah, try that out. See how that works.
Or
out.
Like restraining orders too. A lot of times.
No,
like,
the best line I've ever heard was, he was like, you know, how much does a polar bear have to weigh to break the ice? And she was like, I don't know. He's like, me either. My name's such and such. Like, that line never works. That's
you
funny.
You heard that line?
It was on Hall Pass. Oh. Greatest movie. One of the greatest ever. But, I mean, those lines don't work. Just, hello, how are you? I'm Maurice. Nice to meet you.
I was flying back last week, and I got this guy leaned over and said, I really admire your passion for football. And then introduced himself, and I was like, can I jump out of this plane right now?
Worst pickup line.
You should have, like, started writing it down. Like, what'd you say again?
Worst pickup line. I got to tweet that one.
Yeah.
Good times on the Q&A, as always. Thanks for coming in, The Wolf and Reese. We appreciate you making the time for us to do it every week. Make sure you track it down, the Q&A, each and every week. It's kind of like we don't really do too much day and date kind of stuff. You can really enjoy it at your leisure, you know?
Yeah.
Go back and dig up last
and
week.
Send your questions into us,
oh,
too.
That's a good call there.
So yeah.
She's like a host. DDFP is how you do it. Hashtag DDFP for Maurice Jones-Drew. Colleen Wolf, we'll talk at you later. It's been a thin slice of heaven.